and a very happy Sabbath to you all. Brethren, in the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, he brings in on the perspective of the Old Testament. By the way, I normally don't give a name to the sermons, but this one, I would like to call it the peacefulness of wisdom. And we will center our sermon today on James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. As I was saying, here in James 3, James defines the wise person as one who knows how to live a righteous life, not one who understands abstract ideas. That's the main message. In particular, a wise person has chosen humility in contrast to envy and selfish ambition. Peacemaking, or helping others to get along, it is a clear alternative to self-exaggeration, as we find today in many churches. Also, here in James, worldly wisdom is contrasted with that which comes down from heaven. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And brethren, the humility that comes from wisdom does not require putting ourselves down. Rather, it acts in strength, lifting up someone else. A peacemaker acknowledges real conflict, and it doesn't settle for a forced pretense of getting along. He or she enters into the hostility, solving problems and helping combatants see the best of each other. A question, brethren. What qualities makes someone an effective peacemaker? In the verses that we will be reading today, basically begins with a question. That is what we find in verse 13 of James chapter 3. It starts with, who is wise and understanding among you? Who knows what is worth knowing and has learned to apply it to the truth to life? Taking further, who should teach, discipline, and mentor the believers, especially the young believers? Who should lead the congregation? To this point in his letter, James has focused in the previous verses and chapter primarily on correcting personal shortcomings and bad theology in the church. With this in mind, we are prepared to discover a good alternative. At the beginning of chapter 3, we read that not many of you should become teachers. That's what we find there. Who then should teach and lead? Who is wise and understanding? An answer to those questions is provided beginning in verse 13 of James chapter 3. Brethren, too often we look for worldly credentials, a convincing personality, or good oratorial skills. Yet, we will see that when James answers his own question, the one he raises in verse 13, he is most interested in the character and none of the above. It is essential that we have been altered by what we know today, that wisdom has shaped us inside and out. Yes, Braden, shape us. Before we can apply it to other brothers and sisters, especially in the church. So this is a major learning we have here in James. Let's read now James chapter 3 and verse 13, reading now from the New King James Version. In verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meanness of wisdom." Or another good translation, we can find it in an NIV version where it says, the same verse, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Brethren, there are two words in this verse that we should give attention to. They are the English words good and meekness or humility as found in the different translations. The Greek word translated meekness or humility happens to be prautes, P-R-A-U-T-E-S. The word translated good happens to be in Greek the word kalos, K-A-L-O-S. And the core meaning of the word prautes is to agree with God about ourselves. That's the core meaning of that word. The meek or the humble person, someone who is confident of this statement, "I am who God says I am." A study not too long ago about Facebook and other social networks born to this generation, this is something new that we was not here before, our generation, increased feelings of loneliness for some. That's what the study discovered. Also, it is common for people to put positive news and pictures on their home pages. Only a very small few post negative things of themselves. Knowing our own struggles, we can feel isolated and discouraged by comparing ourselves with others who only display in their web pages positive experiences. And brethren, God's view of us is not filtered by what we choose to post. In truth, we might be lonely, afraid, and scared, but we are also gifted and loved. We are children of God with a complex mix of hopes and fears. That's what we are. And we also know that God knows all of it. Meekness or humility, or the Greek word prautes, then is a view of oneself, not built on comparison with other people or brethren, but rather on the promises of the one who knows us completely and loves us without reservation. Meekness or humility, brethren, reduces worry and anxious uncertainty, trading these two for stability. The humble call-out Christians doesn't need constant reassurance or applauses, doesn't turn every bump in the road into a major crisis. He or she is free of the dominion or domination of self, seeks to hear God's voice and most importantly, doesn't care who gets the credit. Meekness or humility that comes from wisdom should be evident in those who lead and help the church. The other word we want to consider when we read chapter 3, verse 13, is the word good. Let him show it by his good life, as we read before. There are two primary Greek words in the New Testament that gets translated by the English word good. One is agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, and the other is kalos, K-A-L-O-S. Agathos has the idea of novelty, purity, and flawlessness. Kalos, the word we find here in James 3 and verse 13, means beautiful. It describes something that is not only basically good, but is also attractive. A kalos call-out Christian draws others to them. A kalos call-out Christian is a joy to be around with. Brethren, as we are all aware, an increasing number of sons of call-out Christians and their parents, to some small extent also, are distancing themselves from familiar church structures and organized congregations, which, by the way, they regard as self-serving. They prefer association with parachurches, or they start their own groups that exist to accomplish just good works, like fighting against poverty, diseases, abused children, etc. The church is perceived as irrelevant. Instead of being beautiful in its welcome of others and rich in good kalos deeds, in fact, brethren, there is no substitute for a central community that worships, serves, and grows together. But a call-out Christian congregation is called to be a flock that follows a good kalos or a good shepherd. We should all work together to become a people shaped by the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. Brethren, by having answered the question, who is wise, in James chapter 3, he expands his instruction to them and also to us today by distinguishing the force from the truth. In very simple terms, you don't have to go to university to understand these two differences here. Force, or earthly wisdom, is described for us in verses 14 through 16 of James chapter 3. And in verses 17 through 18 follow with the descriptions of wisdom from heaven. Let's read now James chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. In verse 14 it says, from the New King James Version, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Brethren, the phrase envy and self-seeking, envy or selfish ambition, is repeated twice in these verses. Too often, positions of leadership in church are sought for the reasons of pride or profit. Individuals and groups compete for prominence and our Lord Jesus Christ is denied the glory that belongs to him only. Human wisdom produces worthless and wicked shepherds. Remember this always, brethren. Let's consider a prophetic accusation we can find in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 through 5. Let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2 through 5. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 2, it says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fattens, but you do not feed the flock. From what we can see here, he's not saying that it's anything bad. The problem is why they're doing that. They are not feeding the flock. That was their first mission. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd or good shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And that's what is happening today to us, brethren. Normal brethren will become the food of wrong ministers, ministers who are not coming from above with their teachings. Brethren, James' indictment of earthly wisdom, as we read before, is followed by a description of wisdom that do come from heaven. And thanks for that to our Father. Reading now, James chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. In James 3 and verse 17, we read, But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And for the most important verse in these two is verse 18, where it says, Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who made peace. As the New International Version translates that verse, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Wisdom is first pure and uncompromised. And by the way, purity is not being a Puritan, nor hard-edged. Yet, wisdom must begin with a solid commitment to truth. Wisdom is also peace-loving, considerate, and submissive. Considerate, called Christians, seek relationships that go beneath the surface. For then, how are you doing is a real question when they ask it to you. And by the way, brethren, the word translated here, submissive, means willing to listen. That's the real meaning here. and not the common meaning is given today. So we have to understand that when we are reading these verses. It is an approach to life that invites the other brethren or persons to go first. And also, heaven's wisdom is filled to overflowing with mercy for those whose life are difficult. Verse 18 uses a metaphor from agriculture, sowing in peace and raising a harvest of righteousness, as is rendered in NIV. Brethren, good outcomes do not arrive immediately. Never forget that. A wise leader or leader to be will both speak and be silent, will take action and hold back, will give instruction, and most importantly, and serve by example, knowing that or God is faithful, and that the fruit of righteousness will appear in due time. Believe me on this, brethren. We probably are not patient enough. James' instruction makes clear that those who sow in peace trust God to bring a righteous harvest at a time of his choosing, talking about God, not our own time. Who is wise with the wisdom that comes from heaven? And the answer is, it is the man or woman who has learned that God can be trusted. His presence allows us to live both patience and confidence, giving away the life we have received in abundance. In conclusion, brethren, we find the perfect personification of wisdom from above in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, our Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to the question that James brings in chapter 3 and verse 13. All who will serve God's people as under shepherds must learn from him, from Jesus Christ himself, and be formed by obedience to him and be dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit he has given to some of us at this time in history. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the peacemaking who sows in peace. He is considerate, pure, and peace-loving, welcoming, submissive, and full of mercy, and most importantly, full of good fruit. So please, brethren, let us say yes to his invitation that we find in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-30. Let's turn our Bible there. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Most of you know these verses by heart. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, we read, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle," or the Greek word proutis, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is the sermon. Again, brethren, a very happy Sabbath to you all.